Hello, Becky Long here.
I'll be doing roll call in just 1 minute. Thank you.
I just came right in. Sure, I suppose.
Robert's coming in the room.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Morning.
So I'd like to call this morning's Wednesday, April 15th, ADA board meeting to order, and I will ask Sherry to do a roll call for the board members.
Ms. McKinnon?
Here.
Mr. Kendrick?
Here.
Ms. Sandy?
Here.
Here.
Mr. Anderson?
Here.
Mr. Carl?
Here.
And Mr. Cruz?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Would you continue with the staff and public, please?
Staff in the room.
Alan Weissner.
Chris Anderson.
Karsten Rodvik.
Brenda Appleby.
Amy Subback.
Chris there.
Sherry Peterson. And are there any staff members on the phone?
Tom Bucci is here.
Thank you, Tom.
Mark David.
Thank you, Mark.
Sam Tappan.
Sam Tappan. Oh, thank you, Sam. Any other staff?
And Jeff Johns is on the phone.
Thank you, Jeff.
Sherry, this is Jerry Jude. I'm here, too.
Thank you, Jerry.
And this is Stefan Saldana at Department of Law.
Thank you, Stefan. Okay, are there any members of the public on the phone?
Yes.
Yes, I'm on the phone. Blythe Marston is on the phone.
Thank you, Blythe.
Becky Long is on the phone.
Becky Long.
Jared Duffy also is on the phone.
I didn't catch your name, sir.
James Wilson from Matthew Borough.
I didn't catch that.
John Hendricks with Hex.
Thank you, John.
Melissa Hoyer.
Pam Baldy.
Melissa, what's your last name?
Hoyer, H-E-U-E-R.
The next person?
Danny Rosenkranz, Copper Center.
Judy Kaminer, Anchorage. Right.
Can you repeat your last name, please?
C-A-M-I-N-E-R.
Judy's last name.
And my name was Dave Kalsa, D-E-V-K-H-A-L-S-A. And I'm in Fairbanks.
Thank you. Any other members of the public on the line?
Osmond Checkle.
Eddie with AccuType on the phone. I'm recording the meeting for you.
Thank you very much.
This is Catherine Reardon. I work for Representative Andy Josephson.
Just so I get everybody's names correct, if The members of the public on the phone would please send me an email. I'm able to record the correct spelling of your first and last name. I'll give you my email address. It's sivertson@aidea.org. Thank you.
I'm Mike Wood.
Can you please repeat the email?
I don't have internet access right now.
My email address is sivertson@aidea.org.
Nancy Wainwright is on the phone.
Thank
you, Andy. Good morning. Rachel James is on the phone.
Can you repeat your first name?
John Gay to keep.
Thank you, John. I got that.
Lisa, please restate your name.
Bye. Lisa, can you say your last name again, please?
Keith Springer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that, Sherry. Before the board, we have an agenda. I'll look for any changes to the agenda proposed or additions, deletions. If there are none, I'll take a motion for approval.
Mr. Chairman, I motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Thank you. Any objections? Hearing none, the agenda is approved for today. Brings us up to item number 5, public comments. Just remind everybody that we are now 2 minutes on public comments and related to only items on agenda B, on our agenda item 7B and 7C. With that, I'll also say that if there's public comments, we'll close it off at 9:30, should it last that long, and ask those that don't get a chance to make a comment to make sure they put it in writing to Sherry's email address. Okay, so with that, I'll open it up for public comments, and please speak clearly. If you are affiliated with a organization, I'd like to know that also. And with that, I'll take the first public comment.
Yes, can I speak?
You can.
Yes, this is Becky Long, L-O-N-G. I am speaking as an individual. I am speaking on agenda item 7B, which is resolution G20-15. I am opposed to the passage of this West Susitna access because there has been no public involvement nor stakeholder engagement, and I mean stakeholder engagement like the people who own property out there and lodges. There has been no cost-benefit analysis. There has been no impact analysis on this access. This access is approximately 100 miles with at least 24 bridges, two of which are over the Hayes and Susitna River, probably. It's at least 440 culverts. It'll probably cost at least $450 million. Not including over $4 million in right-of-way acquisition. Will there be adequate tectonic studies? Will there be adequate hydrological studies? We don't even know the three alternate routes. The documents on this for the public have been scarce to none at all. This is on our already established, this is inappropriate action in this time when there are already established businesses and economics are hurting. This habitat degradation from this access hurts our already established economics and way of life. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next person.
This is Blythe Barston. I'm speaking as an individual and a resident of the state. I first want to thank you for the opportunity to speak. I am speaking to item 7B, the resolution regarding the West Houstonia Access Road. I would like to incorporate in my comments all of those of the previous speaker. I also would like to let you know that Mark Miller of Talaheim Lodge has tried to call in today and is unable to access your agenda or appear due to the fact that he's in the bush. He has telephone service, but the 464-135-244 number does not allow him in on the phone he's using. Second, I want to thank you for the new loan guarantee program that AIDA has done. It's exactly what is needed at an important time in Alaska history. And for that reason, I hope that you will also consider the probably poor choice of appropriating money for the West Houstonia Access Road. There has been no notice that I'm aware of to stakeholders, and in the 2014 study, that is the last document that I have seen that was produced, because there has not been the phase one available to the public. There are two comments. One, in the recommendations for what should be done, which is an economic analysis, it says, quote, on the last page of 7-4, this analysis would assess the value, should assess the value of resource extraction potential being lost due to the lack of transportation access. I don't think that step has been taken, or at least it's not been made public. Second, the last statement in the 2014 study is probably the most important. It says that public involvement and stakeholder engagement. This reconnaissance level report was prepared to determine possible locations for an access road into the Susitna Basin to support potentially significant resource development opportunities. Should this project be furthered, seeking public input and comment from relevant stakeholders is a critical next step. I'm unaware that either the borough or AIDEA or NOVA have done that. So I hope that you'll take the time to table this motion and make sure that further public notice is provided.
Thank you.
Finally,
I apologize,
one more item.
Your 2 minutes are up, so thank you very much for that. If you have more to say, which we'd appreciate you put it in writing for us, good testimony to Sherry. Sherry, also, you wrote down the names of folks that signed in, correct?
I tried.
All right. So the best you can, board member Ann McKenna. Board member Ann McKenna made a good suggestion that you go down the list of names and we'll call them as they checked in. So who do you have on your list?
I would like to. Yeah.
Who do you have on your list?
Excuse me. This is Blythe Marston.
I'm sorry. You're done. Sherry, who do you have on your list?
Becky Long.
Becky Long, are you available?
She just did.
Okay, never mind. James Wilson.
James Wilson.
Yes, this is James Wilson. I'm representing John Moosey with the Matsu Borough. The previous comments about looking at the sites and public engagement with the potential impacts, Matsu Borough completely supports that. The understanding that we have is that at some point when someone wants to look at a possibility of developing resources, there has to be a starting point, and it's our understanding that this is a starting point to look at whether or not there's even a feasible theoretical routes. So our position is we don't discourage anyone from looking at potential resource development projects, but at the same time, we definitely want to take into full consideration all the comments that were previously made and comments made by others about the potential impacts. But it's our understanding this is just some of the early initial high-level reviews. So that's our position at this point. Thank you for the comments, or for the time.
Thank you, and your assumptions are correct. I will make that statement. So, Sherry, you want to call the next person?
Melissa Hauer. Or Hewer. H-A-U-E-R. Danny Rosenkrantz.
This is Danny speaking. I'm a little unclear how to proceed, but I wanted to make a comment on the Amarillo Road project. I request that you return the money to the fund.
I'm sorry, we're not taking...
They advocated against the use of monies for industry that cannot operate without government support.
Danny, we're not taking comments on Ambler. This is, you can talk about West Susitnet or a loan to Hex LLC. That's happy to hear that those comments. If you have something on Ambler, we would encourage you to submit it in writing to Sherry, and if Ambler comes up on another board meeting, you're more than welcome to voice your comment then.
Okay, that would be great. I'll do that. Please have me
sure
Sherry put her email address.
I will post it on our website.
Thank you, Danny. Next name, Sherry?
Lisa, if I'm not mistaken, it's Springer. Lisa?
This is Board Member McKinnon. I had it as Lisa James.
Lisa James. Lisa, do you wish to make public comments? Nancy Wainwright.
Yes, I'd like to address item 7B of the proposal for an MOU with Nova Minerals. One comment is that there is no copy of the proposed memorandum of agreement on the website, the ADA website, or attached to the agenda. So I'd ask that be provided so the public can review that. And the second is I searched the Alaska Corporation's database. I cannot find Nova Minerals as a business license or a licensed corporation in Alaska. So if there could be some clarity as to who Nova Minerals is, that would be appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
Judy?
You didn't get her last name?
I didn't get her last name.
Eminem?
Is there Judy on the line?
Hi. Yes, sorry. Took a while to unmute there. This is Judy Kaminer, but like Danny, I was going to comment. I thought this was about Ambler and just the unconscionable decision to put money into it at this point in time. But I will send written comments in instead.
Thank you, Judy.
I didn't catch any other names. Would the next person who wishes to make public comments please state your name, first name and last name?
Hi, my name is Steve Springer.
Steve.
Not Lisa.
Thank you. Go ahead, Steve.
And I'd like to exercise my rights outlined in the Alaska Open Meeting Law and speak for my 2 minutes in regards to the decision to transfer $35 million in state money away from small businesses to pay for field work, design, and permitting of the Amblers.
All right. Steve, unfortunately, we're not taking testimony on that. But again, we will take it in writing, and if it's up on our agenda in the future, we look forward to hearing it on the telephone also. Please put your comments in writing so all the board members can get that. Anybody else online wishing to make a public comment on item 7B or 7C?
You're disavowing me to my rights.
7B or 7C. Next person, please.
This is Matt Clayman online. I'm not sure how the queue is working.
Matt, go ahead.
I'm actually not making comment. Just wanted to note that I did join the meeting. I've been hearing a lot of questions and concerns from members of my district. I'm in the State House, as you all know, and just listening in to listen to the meeting today, I have been hearing a lot of concerns about a couple of different things, including the West Susitna Road. So just listening in. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt.
John Gadecki, did you wish to make a public comment?
Yes, can you hear me all right?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm calling in with regard to resolution G20-15. It appears ADA staff is requesting board approval for a non-binding memorandum of agreement to plan a remote access road. I'm up in Fairbanks in the Brooks Range, and it sounds very similar to the Amber Road. But once again, you're entering into non-binding agreements, but you're spending money that puts Alaska in a bind. And I realize ADA has its own funding to work from. But if your immediate spending doesn't have real results for Alaskans right now, you're failing at your job. It appears the Mat-Su Borough does not currently have the funds to move this proposal forward, and the cabin owners and lodges along this route have not been identified. This is the same terrible planning used on the Ambler Road. You're 7 years into the Ambler Road and still no agreements with Doyon, the largest landowner in the area, and no idea how to pay for anything. According to Doyon, you haven't proposed anything to them. That's a failure. And it's a failure looking to repeat on this resolution G20-15. West Susitna Access, like the Ambler proposal, is also over extremely challenging terrain. That comes from your own reports. Why do you keep picking such technically challenging and financially devastating new projects when existing Alaska businesses owned and operated locally need your help? I respectfully request the ADA board put a moratorium on road projects proposed with non-binding agreements. This is a time for signed contracts, signed agreements, and it's a time to work smarter on viable projects with real results. Start by rescinding the $35 million transfer for the Amber Road that was approved in the last meeting. You have a very poor reputation among the villages and business owners in the Brooks Range. Don't bring that reputation to the Mat-Su as well. Do not continue making statewide mistakes in an attempt to subsidize out-of-state business when Alaska is facing a massive recession. You need to do better right now. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next person, is anybody else wishing to make the comment?
Yes, I would like to.
And who's speaking?
Hi, my name is Dave Kalsa, and the last name is K-H-A-L-S-A.
Please proceed, Dave.
Yeah, I am a small business owner living in Fairbanks. And I'm calling in regards to item 7B because, like the previous commenter, I have concerns that it sounds very similar to the Ambler Road project. And this is the kind of project. I'm not good with details with this kind of stuff, but I just want to say that this is the kind of project that, you know, this $35 million in the time of a public health crisis, you know, this money that's being spent on item 7B. For that road and the Susitna access road. I know that I could really use that as a small business owner right now. I have, rental properties in Fairbanks. My tenants are losing their jobs and, the small business economy is hurting. So I would really urge you to consider putting funds towards small businesses. And if you already are, I think it would be good if we knew how to access those funds. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you very much. Is there a next person up?
I would like to comment. Oh.
Go ahead. And your name?
My name is Melissa Hoyer. Sorry, I was on mute before. My name is Melissa Hoyer, H-E-U-E-R. I'm with the Susitna River Coalition based in Talkeetna, Alaska, and I'm representing more than 14,000 Alaskans. I am commenting today to express my concern about ADA's use of Alaska's funds in regards to 7B, Resolution GD-15, the West Susitna Access. This allocation of funding is happening too quickly in the process and before due diligence has been done. Especially when Alaskan businesses are in need of financial assistance, this is not the time to allocate money to this project. As a regular attendee of ADA meetings, I have concerns about how you guys are allocating funds for projects. I think more can be done for the state with a clear vision for projects rather than wasting money on these small, as these projects, on these projects before they're ready to move forward.
Before money is allocated for this project, I would like Ada to address concerns from 2014, including what stakeholder engagement has been implemented and occurred. Has the recommended DNR neotectonic study been completed? And what is the justification for Alaskans, and how does this benefit Alaskans for a 107-mile-long road at a cost of $4.2 million a mile? Thank you.
Thank you very much. So I'm just going to make a quick statement. There seems to be a little bit of confusion. The MOU doesn't have us spending any money. It just allows staff to talk with NOVA on their theoretical ideas. In addition, I will let you know that the Mat-Su Borough has to sign in on this, and there'll be plenty of opportunities for the folks giving comments today to talk to the borough folks when it comes up in front of them, if it does. I just want to clarify that because there seems to be a little bit of confusion here. With that, next person.
This is Mike Wood.
Go ahead, Mike.
Can you hear me? Yeah, hello. My name is Mike Wood. I'm a member. I'm the chair of the Mat-Su Fish and Wildlife Commission. I'm speaking as somebody that's very familiar with the concerns of our fishing and our fishing economy in that area. Just recently, the Alaska Board of Fisheries Quick Inlet Cycle, we were just able to get a huge number of fish up into the Squintna, Yentna, and Susquehanna areas through a pretty orchestrated effort. I would really like to connect the dots here for a second between Senate Bill 204, which wanted to remove the Rough Rivers Plan for the Little Susquehanna and the Talisquehanna River and an area up there that's very sensitive to our sockeye salmon. Between removing the permitted process and giving DNR full right to give put public lands in private hands to Nova Minerals is the same Nova Minerals that's related to Nova Gold, which is related to Nova Copper, and having access across the Little Susquehanna and Big Susquehanna in order to get to the Donlin Grass Line. I really feel like that when you start connecting all these dots to Mat-Su Borough, there's a memorandum of understanding from our John Moosey, and this hasn't even gone to the assembly or to our commission, is putting the cart before the horse once again. And money should not go in this direction. And most importantly, I'm really just incredibly blown away by the lack of public notice and public comment on this once again. As a sponsor of the ballot measure, the Stamp with Salmon, this was one of the major things we were trying to implement, was public comment so people that live in these areas have a way to voice their concerns. And I think for many people out in the Squintna, Yentna River areas about this project. So please, let this be heard by the people in the Mat-Su Borough. I'm aware of three bridges across the Little Susquehanna and three bridges across the Large Susquehanna, and that's it. That is a major country out there that provides a huge economic booster for the borough and our fishing economy. So please make sure that the public understands where this is leading, because roads to resources in this area is unconscionable without public comment. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next person for a comment.
Hello, this is Ruth McHenry. I live in Kenny Lake, Alaska.
Go ahead, Ruth.
Good morning. I have lived in Alaska since 1945. I urge you not to proceed with item 7B, the Susquehanna access. Alaska must not imitate the mistakes of the South 48, where wildlife populations have been fragmented or destroyed by road development. Just as in the case of the Amber Road, the region's remoteness is an asset that will be treasured even more in the future. I also believe that ADA money is needed most for small, doable energy projects to assist communities addressing climate change. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. And next person wishing to make a comment? Next person? Third call. Next person. All right.
Yeah, this is Ms. Jasmine.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Who is this?
This is Rachel Gadecki. I thought there was another caller on as well.
Rachel, you're up.
Thank you. I just wanted to comment. I don't live in the Matsu area, but I've lived in Alaska my whole life, and I've been listening to your meetings and then listening to the public comments and listening to your meetings after the public comments. And my main general comment today would just be that I really would like to see a change in the acknowledgement of the public and the people that you get calling into these meetings. It seems that more and more people are calling in as more and more people are concerned and getting information about these roads that, as Mike Wood was saying, the cart before the horse. And yet the votes that happen after all the people call in are in direct opposite, you know, directly opposite of what the public is concerned about, as though it just doesn't matter. The agenda is already set. It seems the vote's already set. And if you get too many people interested in commenting, our time goes from 3 minutes to 2 minutes, you know, just to sort of shut out the that there's too many comments coming in. So at some point, it would be nice to see Ada taking a little more concern and taking it more to heart, the comments that the public has, which whenever I listen, it is about 99% against these roads that go nowhere so far. And just some more respect for the people that call in whose personal lives are going to be drastically affected. And I've been talking to small businesses. I'm living in Anchorage now, and all the businesses that have been forced to close that can't even do curbside pickup, which makes no sense. They're the ones that are going to suffer the most. And everyone keeps saying we're in this pandemic together, which we are, but when these small businesses all start going bankrupt, then they do that alone, and there's no one there standing beside them. And they're going to have to take out loans to get out of debt, which makes no sense at all. So any money that might be able to be helping small businesses during this huge economic crisis would be much better spent helping local Alaskans immediately, as opposed to always putting these outside mining interests first. All I have to say today.
Thank you very much for your comments. Is there anybody else online wishing to make a comment?
Pam Bowden.
I'm sorry, say that again. Say your name again, please.
Pam Bowden, B-O-E-V-E.
Thank you, Pam. Go ahead.
I'm on the Medtech Borough Assembly, and I just want to state that we have not yet been briefed on this, and I expect it will be a contentious issue when it comes before the Assembly.
Thank you, Pam. Further comments? Anybody else online?
Can I ask who is speaking to the public? Can I have your name?
Further comments?
Yes, my name is Jasmine Chekel, and I live in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I'm 230.
Okay, you're a little fuzzy there. Can you speak a little bit clearer in the phone? We heard your name and then it went kind of fuzzy, so we want to make sure we hear you correctly.
I live in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I urge you to please consider all of our comments and not proceed with item 7B. And to consider this big decision that you're about to make with the public health crisis that is happening right now, as a factor to not proceed, and to consider all of our comments truly. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Further comments? Individuals waiting to make a comment online? Further comments? Anybody else online? I'd like to thank everybody for their comments. Again, we'd also take anything you'd like to add in writing. Sherry gave an email address for that, so all the board members can get a copy of that. We value your input and your perspective. With that, I'm going to close the public comment section and go to item number 6 on our agenda, prior minutes for March 4th, 2020.
Okay.
Has all the board members had an opportunity to read and any questions, comments, corrections on the board minutes?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, this is Board Member McKinnon.
Go ahead, Anna.
I just wanted to correct the spelling on my name wherever it was placed. M-A-C versus M-C.
Anna, this is Sherry. I did make those corrections in the final draft of the minutes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Anna. Bill?
I move the board meetings of Wednesday, March 4th, 2020.
Second. This is Albert.
Thank you, Bill and Albert. Is there any objections to the minutes for March 4th, 2020? Hearing none, they're adopted. That brings us to new business. I guess we're going to A, executive session, discuss confidential matters relating to economic stabilization and ADA programs, the Mustang Development Loan, and Allen Marine. All right. Someone wishing to make a motion to go into executive session.
We go into executive session.
Second.
And for the record, we're going to discuss Mustang Development Loan at Allen Marine. Is there any objections for executive sessions? Hearing none, we're in executive session. There's a separate number to call in. Sherry, are we back on?
The ADA board meeting is ready to reconvene. Can I double check and see if we have our board members online? Ms. McKinnon?
Yes.
Ms. Sandy?
Yes.
Commissioner Anderson? Commissioner Anderson? Mr. Carl?
Here.
Mr. Bhutan?
Right here, thank you.
Thank you. Jerry Judé? Jerry, are you back on the line?
Yes.
Stefan Saldana?
He's not on. He went out to get some lunch. He'll be back in a minute.
Okay, thank you, Jerry. Commissioner Anderson, are you back with us? Well, we've got 6 out of 7, sir.
Okay. All right, well, I'll call the meeting back to order, and I will say the board did not take any formal action on the matters discussed while we're in executive session. Brings us back to new business. Up next is item B under 7, resolution G20-15, West Susitna Access Road, Phase 2, MOU memo. Tom?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I'll just briefly say that Alaska certainly has been in a period for quite some time. Preceding this current situation with the coronavirus, that new infrastructure development is very scarce, and natural resources continue to be the place where we can bring money into the state of Alaska. I don't see any new development on these two, the two largest national forests in the national forest system. You just don't see, we no longer even come to expect resource development on national forest land. You don't see a lot of it on BLM land. Of course, you don't expect to see it on national park land. Gaining access to natural resources so that they can be brought to market seems to have fallen to the shoulders of the state of Alaska. This project looks forward to several years of process, including undoubtedly an environmental impact statement. And we know how extensive those are and how lengthy they are. So this is the initial stage of looking at possible routes to access quite a few valuable resources in this part of the state. We partnered with the Matsu Borough with some private entities. And this resolution, I strongly recommend it. It partners up with a fine company that is able to bring exploration dollars into the state of Alaska, the kind of investment that no state can have too much of, and Alaska very much needs. I'll just turn it over to Alan to describe it, the specifics, but certainly development is quite a ways off in time, and certainly we'll have a lot of public process before the road is even pioneered.
Thank you, Tom. Welcome, Alan. Would you care to continue as to the MOU and comment on today's proceedings?
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. This is Alan Weissner. First off, what I would like to identify is apologize that things are not as clear as they should have been in the way that we presented the information to the board and what has been provided to the public. I want to first address that we fully hear the public comments that have come across earlier today with specific regard to the West Susitna Access Road, the issues of stakeholder engagement, the issues of economic evaluation, the issues of certainly following the recommended processes that were outlined originally in the Department of Transportation study. What I want to identify is that we fully support all of those comments. We fully support all of the issues that were raised on that. What we are requesting today is to be able to engage with one of the resource owners that is in the Whistler Mining, well, what we have referred to as the Whistler Mining District, in order to enter into a process of collaboration with them in defining some of those initial information and study issues that then give us the ability to accurately address people's questions in a stakeholder engagement process. That is the stage that we're at right now with it. And I would also like to highlight is that we have Chris Kertyson, who's the CEO and director of Nova Minerals as well, that's on the public line, who's able to address some questions if the board has any questions from their interests, motivations ultimately in working with ADA, and objectives that they're seeing from a study at this point in time. With that said, what I'd like to do is frame what we're asking the board to allow us to do at this stage. We are looking, and staff is recommending, as our executive director, Tom Patan, has just stated, we're recommending that ADA is allowed to enter into a non-binding memorandum of understanding with Nova Minerals in order to collaborate and investigate the issues behind what we have defined as Phase 2 of the West Susitna Road Access Project. We have previously completed Phase 1, which was a very preliminary study and field examination of proposed routes. The routes are currently presented in a slide that is available for the board to view in the meeting room here and has been provided by email to the board. The two routes that have been looked at are defined as one route that goes from the Whistler Mining District to the Port McKenzie. Another route is one that goes from the Whistler Mining District but then takes a southerly route to Ladd Landing. We've evaluated that. The information in our memo shows what some of the very rough conclusions were on a preliminary assessment of the routes. What we are proposing to do in phase two is create a group of parties that would undertake a scope of work for phase two, would undertake a proposed budget for phase two, which are both to be established at a later point in time. Phase two in itself is principally looking to continue the preliminary engineering studies, principally to do an economic cost evaluation of the proposed routes. Additionally, we would then be defining out what the public engagement process would need to be in partnership with the Matsu Borough to ultimately enter into a subsequent process of proposing a further and full study preparation for a potential EIS or other permitting requirements would be for a proposed road at that point in time. Both elements that are later down the road. Today, we're asking for the ability to enter into the agreement on a non-binding basis with Nova Minerals to work collaboratively on what the defined scope of work would be for phase two.
Alan, is it my understanding that before we could actually go forward with a budget, a proposed budget spending money, the local government agency entity for any development has to sign off on it?
Mr. Chairman, that's absolutely correct. This is Alan Weissner. The process that we had for phase one was working directly in partnership with the Matsu Borough. They had engaged the proposal for the MOU first, and then we had undertaken it second. On this go-around for phase two, we've been talking directly with the Matsu Borough and their management and have the support at this stage to look at this MOU. We're proposing that ADA addresses whether we are willing to go forward, and then the Matsu Borough Assembly will undertake that proposal. So it's all in coordination with the Matsu Borough.
And then after the borough, would I assume they would do a resolution similar to ours?
Yes, they would. And we're asking them, and one of the issues that we've highlighted is we need them to be our partner on this basis, and we would look for them to be a partner in this MOU with us. If there were any issues that the borough has or requirements, we would look to fully adopt those.
And then it would come back, if we had that, we'd get another shot at it, looking at it with some type of a budget.
The follow-up process would be that we need to put together a scope of work that would define phase two and define that budget. We would have to understand which parties are actually contributing, what portions of it, what the roles are specifically, and we would then come back to ADA's board to recommend the scope of work and the budget subject to that approval.
Okay. Albert?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Albert. Alan, could you... you said you had someone with Nova Minerals on the line. One of the public testimony this morning was that they could not find Nova Minerals' business license on the Alaska business search. So I did that myself and could not find them. What are they doing business as in Alaska? Or can you please expound on that, why they don't have a business license in Alaska?
Through the chair, Mr. Fogel, I would ask if Chris Kirkatyson is on the line if he could explain the business license position.
Yes, absolutely. Christopher Kirkatyson, CEO of Nova Minerals here. So Nova Minerals is an Australian-listed company, an Australian public-listed company. In Alaska, We do business as we have two entities. Our claims are held under Alaska Custom Mining LLC, and I actually not right in front of me, but there are specific entity numbers there that you can look up. I can provide those to Alan later. So there's AK Custom Mining LLC for that we purchase capital with, and we have our claims in that, and then we also do our services under AK Operations LLC. So those are the Alaskan entities that we operate under. But yeah, we're an Australian listed company, which is why the parent company is, you don't see that name in Alaska. Not uncommon. A lot of Australian companies, as you would know, are investing in Alaska right now. Hope that answers the question.
If I could just add to that, Mr. Chairman, potentially if we could revise this memo to include the business names that they're doing business as in Alaska on the memorandum, please.
Through the chair, Mr. Fogel, from ADA staff side, we would agree with that, and I would think, Christopher, are you amenable to that change?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely, great. That's required for sure.
Thank you to both Alan and to Chris. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Albert. Continue, Alan.
Mr. Chairman, that really summarizes it. But what we are proposing at this time is really interesting that the non-binding MOU. I would ask the chair if Christopher has a chance to talk a little bit about what is their motivation in working with ADA, what they see as the benefit in participating with us on this road project, and ultimately how they're looking to ensure stakeholder engagement in the process.
All right. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, so we are Nova Minerals, is the parent company, and as we are Australian, listed on the stock exchange, we have, one of the reasons we were looking for the MOU was that we are, we do have continuous disclosure requirements in that the fact that such a road project to our project area is so material to what we're doing, we would have to in some way disclose that. So an MOU would be a perfect vehicle to be able to do that. But also, it would be beneficial to actually pushing the project forward because, we're very committed, to this project. It obviously gives access to our project, but also there's a number of other projects out there that are, we call it the Whistler Mining District. There is the Whistler project out there, which is a copper and gold project, but we hold what we call the Estelle Gold project out there. And so these aren't just, these aren't really smaller plaster operations. These are very large, potentially very large scale, 20, 30 year mine life, multi-million ounce and multi-billion pound copper type projects. Fort Knox, Donlin Creek, Pogo, these type of, we're talking about these type of projects potentially. So you can see the benefits to the state. But because we are committed, What we want to do to be able to fully be able to fund the next phase of the project that Alan alluded to, as well as future phases as we advance the road, is that we need to, in our next capital raisings, which we're in the process of doing now, if we can have an MOU and put this kind of thing on the table, we can raise the type of because it's so material, we can raise the type of funding that we need to support this road project. We've already committed from our current budget quite a bit, a substantial amount, and as we capital raise in the future, we'll be able to commit much more because we're the most advanced project out there right now, and we might have to. We're looking for other stakeholders to join us, as many as possible. But if we have to, go it alone with ADA and the borough, so be it. And we need the funding. We need to raise the funding to be able to do that, to support the all the groundwork that's required. This phase coming up, as well as the phases in the future. And so that's basically it in a nutshell, how the MOU would benefit us and benefit the West Sioux City Road Project.
Mr. Chairman, Bernie.
Go ahead, Bernie.
Yes, really it seems to me that we need to do a better job of explaining exactly what we're doing in our resolutions. If you listen to the testimony this morning, I would say that 97.6554% was negative. And it doesn't have to be negative, but they don't really, it looked to me like they didn't have a clue what we were going to even vote on. And we just say it as a resolution. G20-15 West Sitna Access Road. It says Phase 2 MOU minimum. you know, maybe before we have public testimony, we ought to explain this and say, look, let's read this, what we're going to do. This is just strictly an MOU. It has nothing to do with building the road. It really has nothing to do with, you know, it's not time for public hearings yet. This is just an MOU to, so we can have these talks. But I don't think we do a good job of explaining ourselves, and I think we need to do better in the future. It's Ada's mission to do exactly what we're doing here. We should support these roads, and we should support opening up resource development. That's our job, and I think we're fairly good at it, but I think we need to be better. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Bernie. Comments well taken. Further discussion from board members?
Chairman Bruce, this is Julie Sandy. I just wanted to clarify again, having heard Alan discuss this. So, you know, we did hear in public comment today about many things, but one of which was stakeholder engagement. So I just want to be really clear that I heard the staff correctly and that there would be opportunity for extensive public comment moving forward and in partnership with the borough.
Through the chair, Ms. Sandy, that is correct. And part of the process with this MOU and engagement with Nova Minerals, it allows us to do the engineering studies at this stage to be able to responsibly address those questions.
So Alan, would it be safe to say that this MOU puts in place the framework so you can actually put together a program for the public outreach?
Yes.
So it has to start somewhere.
Yeah, and what
it starts, it starts with this resolution.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and what I would add as well is what, in taking the context of the public comments, the board's comments at this point in time, too, is that we would look at working with Mr. Gertison on the MOU that it incorporates those elements.
Okay. Well, I think that's an important distinction, and I think speaking with Bernie's comments, had the public known this starts as one of many things, engineering and field work and whatever, and engagement with the public entity, the Mat-Su Borough, it also starts the framework for the public outreach. So I just want to make sure that's on the record, and you know, next time up, it'd be good to have that up in front, so you know, in advance, so people could see it. I'm going to ask Sherry. Sherry, there was a comment that the resolution or the information wasn't posted on the
Ada. Well, the resolution has been posted.
Okay, so it was posted
a week ago.
Okay.
But MOU was not attached to it.
Okay, so what's the protocol there?
The status on the MOU is that we are still in discussions to ultimately finalize that form.
So you are in a position to not disclose the MOU? Is it the draft, or is that?
We would, Mr. Chairman, we have represented that we are going to duplicate the process we did in phase one. And phase one was a public issuance of the MOU.
Okay.
There's every intention on our side to make sure that public has access to these agreements.
Okay. Appreciate that. I just want to make sure that that's on the record. Further questions?
Can we read that, Mr. Chairman, can we read the MOU before we start public testimony? Because obviously the public hasn't seen it yet. They've gone to our website. They know what the resolution is. They have no idea what the MOU is that we're going to be voting on. So maybe we could read the MOU. It wouldn't take that long before we start public testimony so they know exactly what we're going to be voting on.
So Bernie, this is a resolution authorizing staff to negotiate an MOU.
Don't you think that's what the public ought to know? Because they don't know that.
Well, correct, but there is no MOU to vote on. We're voting on the resolution.
But what I'm saying is there's just a lot of misunderstanding with the public that there doesn't need to be. We need to be more proactive to make sure they understand what they're even talking about, because there's so much misinformation that it's really, I feel sorry for the public.
Mr. Chairman, may I propose something?
Go ahead, Alan.
We have a process in place that we are looking to establish this MOU with Nova Minerals and have that then engaging with the Mansfield Borough, have their assembly review that form. We are also then in the process of looking to finalize the scope of work and the final budget for Phase 2. We would need to come back to the board at that point in time to make the full proposal. That would also include a form of an MOU, which is the engagement of all the parties that are supporting that scope of work and that budget. What I would propose is that we do as Mr. Carl is suggesting, but this would be then the May board meeting, where we would read through and have public notice the full MOU that's there. It's non-binding, and what is being proposed with the scope of work and with the budget to ultimately enter into a request to go forward on that budget in May.
Okay. Well, I call it the court of the horse first. You know, do you the MOU, to me it's pretty clear, if you read the resolution, it gives you authorization to go to negotiate an MOU. And that's all we're doing here. Unless you had a defined MOU already negotiated to bring before us. But you have to have authorization to even start. Correct?
Well, we're asking authorization to enter into the MOU with them. The form of it really is depending upon the comments then are coming back from the answer.
So you have nothing definitive for us to literally look at.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Further comments from the board? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion for the resolution.
I move resolution number G-2015, West of Sitna Access Road, Phase 2, MOU memo.
This is Albert. I'll second.
Thank you. Further discussion? Hearing none, I will ask Sherry to poll the board.
Ms. McKinnon?
Yes.
Mr. Kendig?
Yes.
Ms. Sandy?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Commissioner Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Carl?
Yes.
Mr. Cruz?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. That brings us up to item number C under new business. Resolution G20-16, approving revisions to the finance plan. I assume that's plan. For the development project loan to Hex LLC. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Because it's PAN, finance PAN.
You're right. There's a
title. Yeah. So, Tom, do you want to comment on this, or do you want it to go straight to Alan?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, this is an important revision, but it's not a very large revision. It's from what the board approved on March 4. The bankruptcy court changed its direction, and so Hentex LLC has had to change the financing in a certain way, and certainly Ada has worked with Hex to do that. I'll say now the financing sort of becomes almost a textbook intersection of reserve-based lending with debt in possession finance. So it's kind of an interesting financing just for that reason. But otherwise, the jobs, the importance of getting this, bankruptcy situation resolved, getting an Alaskan in place here to take charge of this production, all of those, important considerations that were discussed very thoroughly on March 4 are still in place. And so with that, I think Alan undoubtedly has details to add. And I think John Hendricks might be perhaps on the phone.
Tom, Mr. Hendricks is actually in our boardroom.
Excellent.
So questions, if he does have questions, but Alan, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Tom Batten. The only thing that I would add to what our executive director has already highlighted is that as he has stated, the financing plan has changed. There's an addition of subordinated debt obligation that is being covered off by Hex LLC. It does not, in our view, affect the material terms of our arrangements as a first priority lender to Hex LLC and the structures that we put in place. So we're not requesting to have any change in those terms or conditions. There's some beneficial aspects that John Hendricks has been able to negotiate in the meantime between we originally looked at this, I presented this to the board, and the board had approved until now. And I think I would request that Mr. Chairman, if you would allow John Hendricks to maybe highlight what some of those changes are so that you're fully updated.
Thank you, Alan. Welcome, John.
Yeah, thank you for the time, especially at these times that we're faced with. Yes, we signed a term sheet with the debtors and all the creditors. There are like four creditors out there. And we will basically just give you a timeline on what we're faced with. Is we're moving diligently to an effective date of June 30th for closure. And how we're going to get there is this week we will sign and file the acquisition agreement, the disclosure agreement, and the plan. We hope to have that filed by close of business in New York time. By May 4th, we go in front of the judge in Delaware, and the disclosure agreement basically is there, that she hears if anybody has any complaints with what we just filed. And then June 9th is the plan documentation hearing that we will be basically ratifying, and then it goes 2 weeks later is when we could take possession. But June 30 is a good date to basically just draw a line because there's a lot of payments due and take over. So that is our plan right now. And what's in front of you is something that's very non-recourse to Hex and to Ada on the on what's in front of you there. So.
Mr. Chairman, what I would add is when John Hendricks is stating that the term sheet has been signed, that is a binding term sheet.
Just by all the working interest owners?
This is basically by the debtors and creditors. The working interest owners are still working that out. As you know, right now they have an agreement that's in place that we're going to continue to work with them on and get a resolution. There's another working interest party in place that has 20%, which they basically forfeited to Fury years ago. And so Fury, until they pay back the $800 million that these creditors have spent, they don't come back at 20%.
All right, I'm a little confused on the process here. So the working interest owners have no say at the bankruptcy court?
No, they could still come in and talk, and the judge will rule on what they say. We're hoping between now and then they come back and they agree to the agreements that were previously agreed.
Mm-hmm. So there's already been one agreement with them? No?
More than one.
Okay. Okay. If you don't mind, could you tell us for the record who the working interest owners are?
There's a list of what they call the RWIO group. I'd have to dig in the files to give the exact names and everything else. And if you want to go offline, we could. But
is there a number of them?
There's basically four.
Four?
Four.
Did you mention the following?
There's Taylor, there's Davis, and there's a couple others that I can't recollect off the top of my head.
Okay.
It will be defined for it to come out of bankruptcy. Is the issue. They have the ability to object in the process of it, but the closing that we're focusing on for June 30 would be in structuring our loan that enables John to have the capital to acquire the company, and it one of the conditions is ultimately that this is being sold with those issues fully defined to John for his operation.
Yeah. The other party is Lawrence Berry.
So, all right, so can you sign off on the agreement with the working interest owners, if there is one?
That will be part of what we're looking at. We need it to be defined.
Yeah, or, you know, we could just do it here and just
to say, look, we understand that this is the agreement, and we're going to work with the best resolution possible. I mean, they're not going to get more than 20%. And then that way they also have to, if we go to that, is a full working interest owner, you have to pay your costs. Under the current one that we looked at, they didn't have to pay costs. Now they have to pay cost if they revert, which some people think is very valuable.
Any overrides?
Yeah, there's overrides of, they haven't changed at all. There's 12.5% the state has a royalty interest on, and 12.5% which a number of parties have interest in.
Okay. Does the state and those parties, private parties, I assume, have to sign off?
The state has to sign off.
Okay. Any feedback from the state?
The initial conversations that I've had is that they're supporting seeing an Alaskan operator come in on that field.
Okay. Questions from the board for John or Alan?
Mr. Chairman.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I support this. I think that the most important thing on a loan is the borrower's character. And in the time that I've known John, I support his character more than the project. I feel like his character is how you're going to get paid back. And so and I think that's what probably, I'm pretty sure that probably Alan looks at that too. And so I think it's a project we should support, so it's going to have my vote for sure.
Thank you, Albert.
Mr. Chairman, thanks for coming here today, Mr. Hendricks. I appreciate it. I think from my understanding, the facility right now has a number of employees, but if you correct me, there are currently out-of-state workers who remotely work up here and do like a two-on, two-off. Is that correct?
We do have Peak, which is owned by Bristol Bay Native Corporation, has a number of workers there under contract. Yes, I've stated I want to have an Alaskan-owned company. I have to be mindful of the transition when you take over a company to bring people on board on HEX and our values. And the current players that are out there right now have done a superb job managing it this last winter without freezing that flow line up. So, you know.
But the goal, especially in these unprecedented times when Alaskans need jobs, you're anticipating bringing jobs back home.
Yes.
And I also see that you're potentially, there's a period to ramp up that you can actually increase the number of jobs that are currently in position there if you do take ownership and some additional things take place.
We see a great opportunity to, you know, it's called studying the rocks and getting back to base management. If we look at the base of the assets that we have, the reserves, we can grow there. If we study the rocks, we can grow and look at drilling opportunities and provide more gas and possibly oil. Right now, this is a gas-only play. There's no condensate oil. It's very clean. If there's a rupture in the line, there's nothing that's going to get in the environment or anything. But the sad thing of it is that if HEX does not move forward with this, this could go into Chapter 7. And it would be mothballed, and it would be shut in. And then whoever has to pick up the crumbs has to come up again and at a greater cost. Might get it for a cheaper price, but it's going to be a greater cost to humans and Alaskans' economy and the project.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I just, you know, again, I love to see Alaskans own businesses here and an opportunity for the Kenai Peninsula to see increase in jobs. So I would be in support of this resolution.
Thank you, Howard. Further discussion from board members?
All right, I'll look for a motion to put resolution G20-16 on the table.
I move resolution number G20-16, approving revisions to the finance plan for the development project loan to HEX LLC. This is Bill.
This is Albert. I'll second.
Thank you, Bill and Albert. Further discussion on resolution 20-16. Hearing none, Sherry, would you pull the board, please?
Ms. McKinnon?
Yes.
Mr. Kendig?
Yes.
Ms. Sandy?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Commissioner Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Carl?
Yes.
Mr. Pruth?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Hendricks. Okay. Brings us up to director's comments, item number 8 on our agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to first of all thank the staff. This month has been what I would call kind of like being in a sauna.
Bernie, I was looking for director's comments first, but that's okay if you want to go.
Oh, I'm sorry, son of a gun. I apologize.
Yeah.
Chairman Tom here. Just to try to, Ian, I know time is short and you've got a whole other board to chair, but we all should, I'm sure we all do recognize the contribution and the, what a great partner Jerry Judé has been for ADA. And today is, of course, his last day before he retires. And so I know everybody feels the same way. Made an important contribution every day at ADA, and that certainly extends long, much longer than the 40 hours a week. So we need to acknowledge that, sure, and I know we all do.
Thank you, Tom. Any discussion on anything else that you want to talk about?
Well, we've had enough board meetings that I guess I feel like I've expounded quite a bit. I'd be happy to answer any questions, and I'll try to be brief with my answers.
All right. Well, that brings us to item number 9, board comments.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Bernie.
Start over. First of all, I would like to say thank you to Jerry Judé. You know, I don't think much of attorneys at all, but he's actually earned my respect. And that's not easy to do when you're an attorney. So, Jerry, you've earned my respect, and I'd like to say that I only wish you the best of whatever you decide to do. And thank you to the staff, because I know we've been in a sauna this last day, and they've had it turned up high. It seems like we're never going to run out of work to do, and I don't know that any agency in the state has a more important job right now than ADA to try to save what businesses we can. So, again, my thanks to everyone that's involved. Amen.
Thank you, Bernie.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to say thank you again to the staff and to my other board members for really putting in overdrive these past couple of weeks and spending our nights and weekends helping this organization and Alaskans forward. I do want to say that, everything that we do at this board level and this organization does really is creating opportunities for this state. You know, you look at today's decisions with West Susitna, the HEX LLC loan, and certainly with our Ambler project, all these avenues are creating jobs and economic activity in Alaska, especially during these difficult times. So I just want to make this on the record that, you know, we're doing important work here for this state that really these jobs are higher paying jobs and bringing needed income to Alaskans, and that's what's important. And I just want to say thank you again to the staff.
Thank you, Albert.
This is Board Member Sandy. I wanted to echo the comments about the staff. I know everybody's working so hard and so many hours right now across industries in Alaska to do what's right for Alaska. But certainly, as a member of this board, I've been honored to witness you know, through the digital capabilities that I have at least, but I'm aware of all of the work and the hours that staff are putting in, and certainly we just want to call out Jerry today and his efforts for the organization, and he certainly will be missed and wish him a happy retirement. I also wanted to just call out some of the comments made today during public comment about, you know, an assertion that that the public comments are not considered by the board. And I just wanted to assure members of the public that that is absolutely not the case, and that the public comment is heard and valued and very much considered. So I just wanted to offer that as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Yeah.
I'd just like to echo my recognition and appreciation to the staff for their efforts through these hard times.
Anna?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I am at the SOB in Juneau, Alaska, with my face mask on, trying to follow, as the public is doing, the recommendations of our state medical officer and the governor in keeping all Alaskans safe. I just want to do a shout-out to staff, as all other board members have done, in these difficult and uncertain times. Our team has continued to work on behalf of small businesses, economic development, and those that may have future jobs in our state or those that currently have jobs. I'd like to thank the businesses of Alaska that are struggling right now and trying to file applications at the state or at their local banking institutions. We are Alaskans. We are on the offensive, as you have said previously, Mr. Chairman, and as Alaskans and as Americans, we will triumph over this unseen pandemic that is affecting all of our lives. I would like to thank Alan specifically, Mark Davis, Christine, and Jerry. We're going to miss you immensely. You've brought so much value to the conversation in the short time that I have been involved with the board that you will be greatly missed. With that, Mr. Chairman, I respect all board members and thank them for their perspective and for listening diligently to what the public has to say about important issues to face Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. Julie Anderson?
Chair. Yeah, yes. I'd just like to make a couple of comments. First off, Jerry, we will miss you. I've worked with you over the years and enjoyed your kind counsel throughout those years and your calming presence, and I enjoy you the best in your retirement. And then for the staff and the board both, really, and the public, to be able to understand how nimble we have to be during these difficult times, trying to find solutions to problems we have not encountered previously is not an easy thing to do, and I really appreciate everyone's ability to work hard, put in extra hours, and think outside the box. And Dana, I'd like to also acknowledge your leadership. I know you're putting in a lot of hours on this issue, working throughout all different sectors of the economy. So I do appreciate that. And hopefully we'll get through this in the very near future and we can get back to having a robust economy to look forward to. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. So I, too, would like to thank Jerry. I mean, I got to tell you, got a little bit of Bernie in me. Every time you're in private business, you have to spend money with attorneys. It's not usually pleasant unless you're putting together a deal that's beneficial to all sorts of parties. But I have to admit, in my time on this board, I've actually looked forward to working with Jerry. I appreciate his guidance, his counsel. I think a lot of the success, the ADA, can be attributed to Jerry's counsel. Keeping us in our lane, I guess, so to speak. There will be big shoes to fill when Jerry leaves. And I do wish Jerry all the best in his future endeavors. I certainly hope that one day I can take him to lunch when this is all over with
and thank him in person for his endeavors, but very much appreciated. I'd also like to thank staff and fellow board members for their hard efforts. These are, again, unprecedented times. I recognize every one of us are rolling up our sleeves and trying to do the best we can with the tools that we have and the experiences we bring to the table. And it's just very pleasurable to see the diversity in the thought processes. And at the end of the day, I think what we do come up with is very positive and meaningful. And I think for our mission, that's a good thing. Finally, at our previous meeting, there were some comments to the board on the Ambler Road project, and of course today on the West Ossetia thing. And make a couple clarifications. For me personally, I appreciate everybody's comments. Sometimes there's some misunderstandings or misimpressions of what the ADA board does, and I asked the staff to facilitate maybe a little better outreach for that, so that these misrepresentations that they assume are going on isn't quite the case. An example would be is that on the Ambler Road, we moved $35 million from one bank account from one fund to another. We didn't authorize to spend a nickel. I don't anticipate spending a nickel out of it unless every nickel we spend is joined with us, agreed to spend another nickel by the third party, which would be the mining company, at which point it still comes back to the board for approval. I mean, I think that's a misrepresentation that some public members didn't understand. Once spending, if and when spending is authorized by this board and joined by the mining company, there's a lot of work that has to be done. Obviously, the right-of-way, the potential right-of-way, I guess we'll get the final right-of-way here at the end of this month, is just 2 weeks old as far as identification. We don't know what kind of road it's going to be. We don't know how many culverts are going to be there. We don't know what kind of bridges. We don't know how many trucks are going to be on the road, how heavy the trucks are going to be. So I think the stakeholders that own the property along the right-of-way, all of them, it's hard to go to them and say, here's what we're going to build and here's what you can expect. As a property owner, I would think that I would like to know, well, what are you going to build? What's it going to do to my other land? How far away is it? How are you going to maintain it? What's the security? And that doesn't happen until you have a definitive project. I will say that once the mining companies are engaged and willing to participate in funding the design of the road in the field investigation, at that point in time, the ADA with their subcontractor or the contractors along with the mining company would then ask for what I would call a land use permit, so that the mining companies and or the engineers, the surveyors, the helicopters, they could actually land on the property, private or public, and do their investigation to come up with a solution which best fits the property, best fits the property owner, and best fits the end result of the mine. So there's a lot ahead of us on that. It's premature, I think, to go to any landowner at this point in time without being joined equally by the mining company with a budget and a proposal to give the landowner. So I just want to make sure that's on the record. There seems to be some misunderstanding on how this actually works. I would ask staff that they make sure that's disseminated in the appropriate place and in a fashion that's easy to follow. With that, it looks like our best next board meeting is May 20th. Somehow I've got a feeling that we may be meeting before that, so I can't tell you exactly when and where, but things are moving pretty fast, and we're here to help. And so I just ask board members to be prepared and be flexible to the best of your ability should we need another special board meeting to address economic conditions in our great state. I will take a motion for adjournment.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Thank you. We're adjourned. Of course, we have another meeting.
was wondering if it's is it the same line?
Yeah, same line.
I love to stay on. What time does it start?
5 minutes.
5 minutes.